is a lovely sight here with those rhododendrons in full bloom. As Rawson comes in to Kapildeva, who has 99, this one nudged out and the offside to go through for the single. And he's got it. And there's going to be applause from all the Zimbabwe players. And never mind all the Indian supporters here.
Hello and welcome to the Economist Economics podcast. This is a very special mini episode. This is Tariq joining you along with Jayant.
Hey guys, what's happening?
And we have come back after quite a long time, Jayant. We had been off the air for a while, but it is a special date that we are coming back to you on. This is June 18th, and the reason we are coming back is because we wanted to bring you a very special mini episode of Economics, our economics podcast, since it commemorates the anniversary of one of the best known innings in Indian cricket history, which beside a handful of people who were at the ground that day on June 18, 1983, nobody else has seen, but everybody knows about this innings. I'm talking, of course.
You're not talking about a hockey match, right? Because none of them used to turn up at Christ watching hockey because soccer was famous that time.
No, I'm talking about a cricket match, of course. And I'm talking about Kapil Dev's iconic 175 not out against Zimbabwe at the World Cup in 1983, an innings that was very, very crucial because India could have lost that match. If they had, they may not have made it to the semi-final. And of course, we know what happened next. We would not have had history in the making in terms of India winning the 1983 World Cup. If all of these things had not happened, or more crucially, if Kapil Dev had not played what eventually turned out to be a match-winning innings, an absolutely epic innings because nobody else in the Indian side crossed 24 runs. The next high score was 24 and India scored 266. So India were reduced early on to 9 for 4. Then Kapil Dev came in. Soon it became 17 for 5. It looked like the match is going to be over very quickly. But then he hung in there and turned things around and eventually went on to score 175, which at that point of time was a record in terms of the highest ODI score, later on broken by Vivian Richards the next year. And his score was also the highest at the World Cup for a long while. But why are we talking about that particular...
Not to forget, first Indian to score a century also.
First Indian to score an ODI century. So, you know, what a century to come and what a point. Of course, this iconic innings has become iconic, not just because of its impact and what the innings was about. And of course, we all know Kapil Dev was an outstanding cricketer, brilliant all-rounder, one of the absolute greatest of the game in India and the world. But what's really made it iconic is the fact that it's a very classical kind of myth, in the sense that very few people have seen it because they've only seen it live. There are no highlights of it. There is no recording of it, or at least a broadcast recording of it. It is said that some people at the ground recorded it on a camcorder and things like that. But obviously, we're not talking about professional level TV production. And a lot of people find it hard to believe that why was this match not recorded by the broadcaster in England at that point of time? That would be the BBC. And we are here to talk about that, but also talk about a couple of surprising things about it. So the general belief goes that this was because of a BBC strike that people were not available that day, and that they decided not to cover this match at Tunbridge Wells, which is a relatively small ground where this match was happening. But the reality, actually, as we found out, is very different, and that's where our lesson comes in today.
So basically, the strike thing is not only the popular myth, and also, I mean, it is so popular that some of the even historical channels are tweeting about it, which is, I mean, I don't want to name them, but so the popular notion goes that the BBC employees were on strike, so that is why they missed out on recording the thing. But the reality is something else. So the whole format of 1983 World Cup was wherein 8 teams divided into 2 groups, and at all points of single day, 4 matches used to get played. And the BBC already had the schedule drawn up in terms of which matches to record and which they will not be recording. So on the same particular day when India-Zimbabwe played, no one expected it to be such a spectacular match it to be. And BBC ended up covering England versus Pakistan and, of course, Australia versus West Indies. And along with India, there was one more match, which is New Zealand and Sri Lanka, also did not get live telecast or was there any recording in terms of thing. But little did BBC know that what a big opportunity, or at least one of the recordings. So, yeah, it was a big opportunity which they missed, so which we will be discussing in talking about opportunities, big opportunities being missed.
So we want to talk about opportunities being missed, or more specifically in terms of economics, we want to talk about the idea of opportunity cost, because here the basic thing was that it's the idea of opportunity cost is that every single transaction, every single decision involves some kind of opportunity cost. You are giving up something to gain something else. And this is not always necessarily a bad thing. You have to make these trade-offs, as we call them in economics all the time, giving up something to get something else. And that's the trade-off BBC had to take a call on before, well, practically when the schedule of the tournament was drawn up. They had limited equipment. They could not obviously cover all 4 games on the same day. So, and they had only 2 channels, so they could only show 2 of them. So these are, this is 37 years ago. So we did not have wall-to-wall coverage like we do now. You did not have a Hotstar to show all the games at once. You did not have about 15 different Star Sports channels to show it. So they only had 2 channels, and the main matches were being shown, the matches that they felt would be more significant and understandable. A match featuring Australia, West Indies, who are World Cup finalists, West Indies, defending World Cup champions. Naturally, a bigger game than India, who had failed to make it past the first round of the World Cup, both in 75 and in 79. And Zimbabwe, again, who were basically a minnow team at that point of time. So the BBC took that call early on and decided not to cover it. So that was their opportunity cost. They took on covering those other 2 matches, and they had to give up on not covering these 2 matches. Or more specifically, since you're talking about this one, the India versus West Zimbabwe match featuring Kapil Dev's iconic innings. And the result was that they missed out. But that's sort of the reality of opportunity cost, that most of the times it's very hard to calculate exactly what the opportunity cost might be or what the missed opportunity might be. If you asked a BBC producer or an editor an organizer before the match, were they expecting something historic to happen in this game, they probably would have guessed that maybe not. So they took the chance and they went to the games that had the bigger stars. They knew that they were giving up something, but the whole game is so uncertain. Like they say, cricket is a game of glorious uncertainty. So here was an uncertainty that they never expected it to turn out like this, which ended up being the greatest missed opportunity maybe in the history of ODI cricket. But these kind of missed opportunities are relatively common. Jayant, you had a story about Apple computers that you wanted to talk about, where something sort of similar happened.
Yeah, I mean, the story goes like this. I mean, the most unlikely personality of Apple, which least known at least now, because there were initially 3 founders in terms of Steve Jobs, of course, Steve Wozniak, and the other one was Ronald Wayne. And 3 of them on April 1st, 1976, came into an agreement wherein they drafted the partnership thing to start off a company. And this third personality, which is lesser known, Ronald Wayne, was offered 10% of the overall stake in the company. And they took out a typewriter and they drew up an agreement wherein he got 10% of stake and to run the company. So at that point of time, Jobs had taken almost $15,000 loan. So this is 1976. $15,000 is a huge sum of money at that point of time in US also. And after almost a week or 12 days into the business. Ronald Wayne came back and sold his entire 10% stake for $800, which if he had kept the 10%, even after so many dilution of Apple shares, it would have been easily worth north of $90 to $100 billion, which now in hindsight, everyone says that, wow, what a trade of life, he missed out, he's the most stupidest man, look at him, he's living on social security and all. But lesser did people know that in 1976, that a company started out of a garage will be worth almost $1.5 trillion.
Yeah, because at that point there were so many other companies starting out of the garage. Nobody knew that Apple would become the consumer giant it would once become, and it went through a lot in between before it came to this level, and which is what we are kind of wanting to talk about in the context of Kapil Dev's innings never getting recorded, is that sometimes the uncertainty is so much that it's not possible to look at it. It's easy to look at in terms of hindsight, like with Kapil Dev's innings, and say, oh, this was an iconic innings. How did they not cover it? The BBC must have been at fault, or, you know, that's why the stories about BBC being on strike and things like that stick around for so long. And like you pointed out, Jayant, for Ronald Wayne, there was no way of knowing at that point of time how this whole thing will turn out. He realized a couple of weeks into the job that maybe this was not really for him, and he decided to just simply give up and pursue something else, which is perfectly fine, because if you're faced with uncertainty, I'm sure Jayant, you would be able to talk a little bit more about this in the context of even personal investment and things like that, because you advise people on those things. If you're faced with...
You're faced with uncertainty. It is only in hindsight everything looks so clarity. It's always about the opportunity cost and sunk cost, which goes in hand to hand.
And the question is, are we able to correctly predict or calculate the opportunity cost? Sometimes because of uncertainty, it is hard.
On a single bet, it's very difficult to calculate how, because there's a lot of moving parts in terms of the overall scheme of things, which works and which does not work. But the more chances you take, the more games you play in terms of you take calculated things. That's how you need to, like how we say, in whether when it comes to investment or anything else, wherein you have to take calculated risk. And by doing that, you'll only increase your chances of taking a loss would be on a lower side. And also, digging up, so many people say in hindsight that they laugh at Ronald Wayne in terms of he sold out early and all. There's one more info which I wanted to share. The famous Steve Jobs himself, after he went out of he was voted out of the board in 1985 out of the company, he sold all his shares and he just kept one single share, and with the money he started Next, and along with it he was also funding a company which was started out as a subsidiary under Lucasfilm, which we famously known today as Pixar, and he was running the company. And when he came back to the written back to the thing, he still held on to the shares of the Pixar, which later sold out in an all-stock deal to Disney. And not many people know this, that Steve Jobs is the single largest individual owner of for Disney company, the guys who make the movie.
To be more technically correct, before some of our listeners start calling in telling us that that is incorrect, it's Steve Jobs' estate and family that are the single biggest shareholder now in Disney.
Shareholder. So at some point of time, we get caught up in so many things that we ourselves miss the bigger. The whole idea here is there's so many unknowns which we're not sure about, and even the guys who run the company don't know about it. So yeah, so that is the biggest opportunity is in terms of missing out and gaining opportunities from Apple founders to BBC missing out on covering one of the greatest ODIs of the all time.
So
the opportunity cost.
So the and there are only two ways to deal with the opportunity cost. One is that if you don't, there's too much uncertainty and you don't know, you just take a call. If you're not able to handle that uncertainty, you should get out of there and take up something that is a little more certain, because the riskier course of action would be more problematic for you. And otherwise, there is only other way to figure out opportunity costs that you may be incurring, which is by figuring out if you can get more information or if you can get more expertise to more accurately calculate, to reduce the uncertainty and figure out what is going on. That's the only way to manage it. But the basic point that we wanted to sort of make today in this discussion was that there will always be opportunities that you will miss, and you're kind of looking in the rearview mirror and looking always back on missed opportunities might not be sort of the smartest way to plan ahead. It would rather be a better idea in terms of looking at the next opportunity and trying to see if you can minimize the potential of uncertainty or mistakes, rather than, like Jayanth, you said about Ronald Wayne, that he does not regret giving up on that opportunity, because you know it's silly to look back at it with the perfect hindsight now and try and attach value to that decision, because at that point of time the uncertainty and noise was too much.
Yes.
All right, so that brings us to the end of this little story that we wanted to share. Let us know what you thought, and of course please subscribe to our podcast. You can get it on Audioboom, on audioboom.com/channels/economist, or any of the other podcatching platforms that you use. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all the other standard places where you get your podcast from. And keep listening to these episodes, because we'll be dropping episodes more regularly now. We haven't been doing a lot of episodes in the recent times, Jayanth.
Yeah.
But we are back now, and we will bring you at least once every month, if not twice every month, interesting stories and ideas from the world of economics and how they relate to your own decision making and your life. And that would be what economics will be about. You can also follow our Instagram handle. It's instagram.com/economist. We post up some interesting stuff there. In fact, we have posted a story about Kapil's innings also up there, so you can go and check it out, and other videos that we have. And Jayanth, you can also plug in our Twitter handle as well.
Yeah, at the economist.
So you can
go check out
twitter.com/theeconomist for the stuff on Twitter. And of course we have a blog on itsthemarket.wordpress.com, so do visit our blog also. That's about all the time we have. Thank you everyone for listening to us, and hope to see you next time. In the meantime, this is Tariq signing off along with Jayanth.
See you guys
next time.